All right, so we're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 in just a moment. So if you want to get to Ecclesiastes 4:9, and I'm going to just start by asking you a question. How many of you think it might be important to have faith if you're a Christian? Raise your hand. Okay, that's almost 100%. That's really good. That's the best vote I've ever gotten in church. All right, faith is a big deal. And I wish that faith were easy. I wish that faith wasn't complicated. And the more I do life, the more I realize that faith is sort of like this puzzle. And there's all these different pieces, and you got to fit it together. And so today we're going to talk about the community aspect of the faith puzzle. All right, so I'm going to do something just a little bit different today. It's not generally the way we approach the message time. Normally we approach the message time and we take a passage of Scripture and we unpack the teaching of that Scripture. And I'm just going to be candid with you up front, guys. I'm going to try to persuade you of something. And so I went to a passage that talks about what I want to persuade you about. And God wants, if we are going to have a growing faith, God wants us to have community. God wants us to be connected. All right, so I'm going to do something they say you're never supposed to do. Do we have a first-time guest with us this morning? Is somebody here today for the first time? Okay. All right, so what's your name?
Annie.
Annie, could you come here, please, Annie? I know I'm not supposed to do it. Can we just give a big hand for Annie? Okay, Annie, come on up here. Come on. I'll stand away from you, and so I won't scare you any more than I already have. All right. So, okay. Annie, we're going to play a little bit of Name That Tune today. Okay. I actually have. Do you like coffee?
I do. Yes.
I've got a Starbucks gift card. For you, if you can name that tune. Now, nobody help her at all, okay? Nobody help Annie. This is all on Annie, okay? And we're going to do something a little bit interesting. You know, for entertainment has always played a big part in our culture, our world. It doesn't matter if you're talking about a Shakespearean play, an opera, or a movie. The best entertainment always revolves around some relational story. And sitcoms, for the last 50 years, sitcoms have been a major influencer in our culture. And I think that they're that way because they tell the stories of people a lot like us that really have found a community to belong to and grow and do relationships together. So we're going to start with the 70s, which was a big error. And in 1970, there was a sitcom. It was the most powerful, it was the most popular sitcom in the 70s. And so I'm going to play that theme song.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
You have any idea? Did anybody have any idea?
Because we had it.
What'd you say? All in the Family. There you go. You got to say it, though. All in the Family. Okay, all right. Let's give it up for Annie. She's doing good. She's one for one, right? Guys, you got to be a bigger help than that. That was ridiculous. You're letting me down. All right, so let's do the 80s. Number one sitcom of the 80s.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows.
Cheers, that's right. By the way, this is the only one that I ever watched. That was that one, all right? Okay, so, all right, so most popular sitcom of the 90s. We got to wait till the 80s one goes, okay? Friends, there you go. All right, there you go, all right? All right, so got that one real quick. How about the decade of the 2000s? That's right. Did you watch The Office? I didn't watch The Office either. Yeah, lots of people did watch The Office. Okay, that's The Office. Okay, And then this decade, the most popular sitcom is this.
Nearly 14 billion years ago, expansion started. Wait, the earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall.
We built the pyramids, math, science,
Big Bang Theory, I don't watch that one either. There you go. Hey guys, can we give it up for Annie? Let's go. And go have some coffee and drown your sorrows in caffeine. Thank you. Sorry, I really. All right, so that's good. All right, so. Ecclesiastes 9, we're going to get there in just a second. And so, guys, God hardwired us to be connected. God literally built into our DNA this desire to be in community. And so today we're going to look at three different key truths. And the first one is this. God longs for you to be connected and not alone. Now, again, how do I know? I made that statement. It's hardwired into our DNA. How do I know that that's true? Because that fleshes itself out in the story of the first man, Adam, right? You remember the story about Adam and Eve, okay? God created Adam. He put him in the garden. And in the garden, there was a period of time where it was just Adam and the animals and God, right? And that was pretty cool because God would come down and they'd sit on a log and have coffee in the afternoon. I don't know, whatever they did. And there was this period of time where Adam and God, they had a great relationship. They were connected. But after a while, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I think actually what he did is he let him see his loneliness so he would appreciate Eve even more. It's not good for man to be alone. Oftentimes people think that, you know, if you're lonely, if you're by yourself, then you're the problem. And that's just simply not true. Sometimes circumstances and situations drive us to isolation. I mean, the Apostle Paul at the end of his life and ministry, the Apostle Paul who had friends literally all throughout the Roman world, people who had his back. But as he's at the end of his life, as he's in prison, he's surrounded by other prisoners. He's surrounded by guards, but yet he was alone. He said, hey, man, send Timothy. Send my bud. I'm alone here. Guys, God created us to be alone. You know, I like quotes. I had this quote, and I don't know where it came from. I know the person, it was Charles Swindoll. And so I don't know if I heard it on one of his preaching deals, or if he spoke it at a conference, or I read it in a book, but I just wrote it down in my little quote deal. And he said this, loneliness is the most desolate word in the English language. What a great descriptor. God, loneliness is the most desolate word in the English language. Guys, we are a society of lonely people. There are 70% more people that live alone in a residence than they did just two decades ago. And you know what? What I also know is true about loneliness is loneliness is not a respecter of persons. Loneliness reaches into all occupations. Loneliness touches all ethnic groups. Loneliness touches all generations, men, women, boy, girl. Anyone can be lonely. Guys, married people can be lonely. Thing I know is true. Marriage is tough, guys. I know that. And I know that there are married people. They share the same name. They share the same, they share children together. They share the same bed, but they're still both alone. proximity to people doesn't mean that you're in community, that you're connected. God desires us to be connected. There are tons of, this is a big deal. And it's interesting now how many people seek the answer for loneliness. You know, they go to great lengths, but they don't do it with talking to people. They do it online, right? There's all these dating websites. It's just a natural way people are meeting now. I mean, it's not weird or strange. But I love the more recent one. It's a couple years old. It's Farmers Only, right? Have you seen the ad? And what's the ad? Farmers Only. You don't have to be alone. There's farmersonly.com. Right? This is natural. This is just who we are. Now, Solomon, he was the wisest man to live besides Jesus Christ. And in his book, Ecclesiastes, he has this profound passage that deals with the desire to be, the mandate for being connected, the need for being connected, and the benefits of being connected and being in community. And so before I read it, let me just pray real quick. God, thank you for your word. And this passage is going to naturally dovetail into something that's so crucial in our lives. God, I pray that that your word will do its work. It'll be sharp. It'll be active in our lives. And God, through this, through what your word says to us today, we're going to be changed. And it's in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Just real quick. Guys, sometimes I can't remember if I said something 1 hour or 10 minutes ago. Did I give you guys the definition of faith? Did we talk? I forgot that in this service, didn't I? Okay, so I think a really good definition of faith is this. I sort of paraphrased it, stole it from my one of my first Bible college professors, and that's this. Faith is believing what God says to be true and acting upon it. And now this is why I wanted to give you that definition. I believe being connected in community is essential. Sometimes it's essential in the belief part, and sometimes it's essential in the action part. But I know times where I wouldn't have believed in my head or acted on my faith if it wasn't for those who I was doing relationship with, if it wasn't for my community of faith encouraging me. All right, so with that in mind, let's look at the words of the word of God as recorded by Solomon. Verse 9, he makes a statement. He says this: two are better than one. And then he goes on and he gives reasons for why two are better than one. It says, first thing it says, because they have a good return for their labor. Guys, work is better, work is more fulfilling, work is easier when you have someone to help you. Give you a story real quick. When I was in, first couple years I was in Bible college, I worked at a freight dock, Central Freight Lines, unloading and loading trailers, right? And it was never fun, it was a horrible job, but there were two trailers that were literally trailers from hell. And so the way it worked is we all gathered and we had a little meeting and we were all only supposed to work 5 hours a day because we were part-time people. And then you would just go grab an envelope, and in the envelope was what they called the bill. And that was all the different freight that was in the trailer. You were to take it out and send it, and then another guy at the other end of the dock or other end of the area would put it in the trailer that it was supposed to go to, right? And the two trailers that were the trailers from hell were the tire trailers and the battery trailers. That's that battery trailer. I hate interstate battery to this day, right? So So I don't know, it was a code, it was some sort of issue, and they would literally, Interstate would send us a truck, their truck, and it would be stacked only, you could only go four batteries high. You know, batteries are not light, and four batteries doesn't get you very high. 45 feet of battery after battery stacked four high, and 10 of them were going to this city and that business, and five of them were going here, and you had to, anyway. And again, you were only supposed, your shift was only supposed to be 5 hours, but if you got the battery truck, it was 7 hours. I mean, it was just, you were there all day. Well, the only salvation was when, as people finished their trucks, they would start sending people over to help you. So by the end, the last 2 hours, you had like five people bending over and picking up those batteries and putting them on the carts and sending them to other freight docks. Because it was better to work with somebody else. Next thing he says in verse 10, he says, if either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Guys, it is much more challenging to deal with adversity alone than it is when you have somebody there with you. Guys, you're going to face problems. Life is not always going to be easy, even with Jesus Christ. But if you have other people in your life with whom you're connected, it's easier. It's better. You get up easier when somebody reaches a hand down and helps you up. Verse 11 says, also, if two lie down together, they will keep each other warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Guys, so this is talking about something other than body heat, okay? This is, and if you can't read between the sheets and understand what this is really talking about, you call the church office tomorrow and Pastor Darren will be happy to explain it to you. Guys, this is referring to the need for intimacy that God hardwired into our lives. And God says, you know what? There is a venue for fulfillment in that desire that I created in your life, right? Verse 12, it says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. Now, this is my phrase, but I say this quite a lot. There is power, there is protection in connection. There is protection in connection. Say that with me. There is protection in connection. And why do we need protection? Because we have an enemy that is looking for someone to devour. A roaring lion, Peter says, the enemy is like a roaring lion looking to devour you. Guys, it's easier to defend yourself with someone than it is to defend yourself alone, right? There's protection in connection. There are all sorts of practical benefits with being connected, with being in community. But Paul or Solomon ends with this amazing statement. What he says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. A cord of three strands, and the third strand is God. And so God says, in fact, it sort of leads us to the next key truth. God longs for your connections to have a spiritual component. God says there's a cord of three strands. So when we're connected with other people who are also believers, we have a stronger We have a stronger faith. Okay, guys, if you want to grow, if you want to have a growing faith, is it better to be in relationship with people who also want to have a growing faith, or who don't want to have a growing faith. Right? Our connections for faith-growing purposes, guys, they need to have the spiritual dynamic. Webster's defines family this way: people living in the same house or a group of people related by ancestry. And both of those definitions apply to us here. Guys, we gather in the same house. I mean, we come together in the same building, right? Each and every week. But more than that, we are connected by ancestry. We are connected by blood. Now, I didn't grow up going to church but in high school, I started going to church. And in that first church experience, I became part of an entirely different family. God says to us in John 1:12, "Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Guys, when we come into relationship with Jesus Christ, we all are born of the same blood, so to speak. We all become family through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not a loose connection. It's an intimate, spiritual, family, relational connection in our lives. We have a connection that's a spiritual nature. And then the third key truth, that the persuasion point of the need for community in our growing faith, is this: God longs for the spiritual component to drive the connection. Guys, you realize that God is calling us to preview in the church. God is calling us in our relationships in the church to preview what eternity in heaven is going to look like. I mean, think about that for a second. One of the opportunities we have is to live in such a way so that the world gets a little glimpse of what heaven is going to be like. It's powerful. How many of you ever been to Disney World, to Epcot Center? Raise your hand. Does anybody know what Epcot stands for? It's an acrostic for Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. I think it was in the 80s when they opened it. But in the 80s when they opened it, it was showing you all these futuristic things, and this is what the future was going to look like. Guys, well, God says that the community of tomorrow, the community of eternity, is not one that's formed by technology. It's one that's formed through relationships, and by relationships. It's a powerful thing. Tell you a quick little story. There is a lady, and she has come to, she's been a part of Fellowship of the Rockies. She was there first Sunday in 1998. Her name is Jean Sedler. And Jean, her husband, passed away. Al passed away, I guess, 5 or 6 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. Now, I'm not good with that type of stuff, but he passed away a while ago, and they were always members of the church, and they have 3 children. And one of her children came to church with her that whole time and is a dedicated, devoted follower of Christ. And then her 2 other children, I don't know if they're believers or they're not believers. I mean, they might be, but I just don't know that, because there's no faith evidence in their life, like church or whatever. And Jean has Lou Gehrig's disease. And Lou Gehrig's disease is a horrible disease, and it's slowly just been taking her away. Well, right before she was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, her son, that was a believer, moved. He left the state. He had to go to another. He had to go to another state. And you know what? In a very strange way, I'm glad that that happened. Why? Because if Joe would have been around, those two children that didn't know Jesus Christ, they would have just seen all of the relationship and the connection and the ministry as because of Joe. But when Joe moved away, these two children have seen the church be the church without that other family connection. And guys, I think, and it's had zero to do with me, I stop in once a month to see Gene. I'll do it a little bit more now. But people in our church family had literally just gone and loved and cared for her. One of the ladies who is her caregiver right now is a lady that they became friends with, they were close to, and it just happened just because they started sitting next to each other in church. And Cheryl is a graphic designer, right? And Cheryl could go get a real job making real money as a graphic designer any place, but you know what she did? She went and took the training to be a nurse's aide so she could be Jean's caregiver through her nursing company. And you know what? She's told me 100 times, I'm never doing this again. This is the only time, and the only reason I'm doing this is because of Jean. I hate every minute of it. But she loves Jean. And those other two children have seen the people that come by, and they bring her the CDs of the messages, and they pray with her, and they have communion with her in the home. And they've got to see the church be a demonstration of what it's going to be like in heaven. Guys, it's a powerful opportunity that we have. Acts chapter 2. And so this is the first church. And guys, in Acts chapter 2, this is not like you read Acts 2 and you think, well, this all happened in the same week. And that just wasn't true. This statement here is something that happened perhaps as many as years after the church formed. And it's going back and it's talking about that church. It's been doing life together for many years. And it says this about those early believers. It says this: all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Guys, that's authentic relationship. That's people who are genuinely connected, not just high-fiving each other on Sunday mornings. And there's nothing wrong with high-fiving each other on Sunday mornings, but there are people, these were people who genuinely cared for one another. And guys, authentic relationship is something that is so desired by people in the world. Of course, there are clubs and groups and everything, but you know what? Doing life together in a way that makes a difference here and throughout eternity is something that only takes place in and through the body of Christ, through the church. It is so essential. And you know what? Join the Harley Club. I don't care, right? Get on a softball team. You know, be the coach of the your kids' sports. All those things are good, but there is something that isn't quite complete in those relationships. It's only through the relationship that comes from Jesus Christ that our lives take on truly eternal significance, guys. Now, I know that there, I know that there are lots of challenges that we have as a church, and down here at the Fountain Campus, this room isn't the best. This building isn't the best church building in the world, right? I mean, we got to figure something out. There's not a lot of space left and all that stuff, and we'll do that. But guys, the most important structure in the church is not the physical building. It's having the structure for relationships, a place where people truly belong to one another, belong to Christ, and connect with one another. Guys, the church is to be a place that encourages strong marriage. Guys, marriage is challenging. The church needs to come alongside, and through the power of the Holy Spirit and partnership and brothers and sisters in Christ, you can build those marriages. Guys, the church is to be a place where come alongside parents and help parents learn how to be a good parent for Jesus Christ. Guys, a church is to be a place where we come alongside people who are challenged in life in a physical way or some emotional way, and we help them along. It is a powerful opportunity we have. Okay, so I'm going to close with three questions. First one, are you just a member of the family of God and the church, right? Because it's a twofold, right? The most important decision you make is to trust in Jesus Christ. If you haven't trusted in Jesus Christ, there's a little box on the community card that says, I want to know more information. You check that box, and we'll call you. We'll help you in that journey. What is also important is connecting with a church. I can't remember the date. I saw it on pre-service slides. They're doing a gathering where we commit, ourselves to being a part of God's family. Guys, it's important. The second question is, do you have friendships in the church? Research, and there's a lot of research goes on about everything, but there was a research study done by people who feel connected in their church, and they said they feel fulfilled in their church relationships. And one of the common denominators in everybody who said they were fulfilled in their church relationships was they had at least 7 significant connections, relationships in the church. Guys, and you know what? This is a big deal. We talk about connect. We talk about getting in groups, and it's a big deal. I believe if you're going to grow in your faith, you're going to need other people. And you know what? You're the only one that can solve that. In fact, the third question is a little bit even more in your face. Are you being friendly? Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. So what does that mean? It means you have to be the one that takes the initiative. Oh, you have to be the one that goes up and says hello. If you come in late and you leave early all the time, you're probably not going to get to know many people. If you never check the box and says, "Hey, I'll help on this ministry team," or I'll go jump in that group, you're probably going to lack that part of the spiritual faith journey. You have to take the initiative for it. Let me just close by praying for us as a church, praying for you individually, that we might really embrace this powerful component of the faith journey. Bow with me in prayer. God, thank you for hardwiring into us your aspect. I mean, you're the one who wants relationship. You're a God who lives even amongst himself as a relationship. And I thank you for making that part of of us, your creation, your children. And God, I pray that everyone who's here would strive for that community, strive to be connected. And I pray that Fellowship of the Rockies would be a place where connections thrive, where community is authentic, where we are involved in relationships with that, those strands of three chords. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.